This is Mark Steiner, and today is June the 25th. Welcome to This Day in History. That's They Don't Care About Us by Michael Jackson. Originally released in 1996, the song has taken on a new life in the past 2 years as young people have begun singing it at Black Lives Matter protests. Michael Jackson, who revolutionized music and entertainment, passed away on this day in 2009. It was known as the Great Sioux War of 1876. Every American has heard what happened on this day in that year, the Battle of Little Bighorn, or some refer to it, Custer's Last Stand. The day the Lakota, Cheyenne, and Arapaho warriors under Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull wiped out Custer and his 7th Cavalry. But why did it happen? What precipitated the battle? The Lakota and Cheyenne in 1868 won by signing the Treaty of Fort Laramie, which gave them all the land that's now the Dakotas and part of what is now Montana and Wyoming. Only Native people were allowed to go to that land. But then, in 1874, in their sacred place called the Black Hills, gold was discovered. Whites came pouring in, and the U.S. government ordered Indians to move into new, smaller reservations in the Dakotas. Many resisted, and the Great Sioux War began. In May of 1877, Sitting Bull led his band to Canada. Crazy Horse surrendered and was then assassinated, and many Native people think of the Battle of Little Bighorn that occurred on this day as the Indians' last stand. Isaiah Dorman was the only black man to die at the Battle of Little Bighorn. Dorman was born free in 1832, moved to the Dakotas, became a woodcutter, and delivered mail throughout the territory. He was close to the Lakota, spoke their language, and married a Lakota woman. By all accounts of the battle, he fought bravely, firing till the end. As he sat there, a bullet wound in his chest, Sitting Bull rode up. Dorman, speaking in Lakota, asked him to spare his life. Sitting Bull gave him water, saying, "This man was a friend of mine." As he rode off, a Hongpapa Lakota woman, Little Robe, shot him through the head. His body was then mutilated, as many saw him betraying their friendship. On this day in 1994, Yasser Arafat, then chairman of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, returned to Palestine after 27 years in exile. He fled Palestine in the war of 1967, when Israel took control of the West Bank and Gaza. He returned to Gaza after signing the Oslo Accords, creating the Palestinian Authority, which was to manage the occupied territories and lead to Palestinian independence. 21 years later, the promise of peace and an independent Palestine still have not been realized. Today is the birthday of Thomas Peters, born in the Yoruba Nation in what is now Nigeria in 1738. He was captured by slavers when he was 22 years old, ending up enslaved in North America. He tried to escape multiple times while enslaved in Louisiana, South Carolina, and Delaware. So when the American Revolutionary War began, he escaped once again, hearing of Lord Dunsmore's proclamation that any enslaved person who fought with the British would gain their freedom, so he joined the Black Pioneers, a black loyalist unit of formerly enslaved Africans. He rose to the rank of sergeant, became a leader in battle, fought bravely with the Black Pioneers alongside the British. When the Americans won the war, the British moved Thomas Peters and thousands of other formerly enslaved people who fought with them to Nova Scotia, with other loyalists. Once again, Thomas Peters rose to leadership when he grew disillusioned in Nova Scotia because the British did not live up to their promise to allocate land to black loyalists after the war. He organized the new black settlers in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, traveled to London to convince the government to resettle freedmen in Nova Scotia elsewhere. When he won their agreement to settle in Great Britain's colony of Sierra Leone, he went back to Canada to convince his fellow citizens to leave. 1,100 Afro-Nova Scotians supported the idea and in 1792 arrived in Sierra Leone. Though Thomas Peters is considered one of the founding fathers of Sierra Leone, he died despondent and suffering from malaria when he was not elected leader of the new nation. Here's a song for you, June the 25th. It was written by Marvin Gaye. In response to his label requesting he try his hand at disco, it was a huge success, topping 3 different Billboard charts. The song suddenly came back into the spotlight in 2013 when Robin Thicke, Pharrell Williams, and T.I. released the song Blurred Lines, which borrowed heavily from this song. Marvin Gaye's family took them to court. And in 2015, a federal judge awarded $7.4 million to Gaye's children. The song is Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye, which hit number one on this day in 1977. To continue your exploration of this day in history, visit steinershow.org for resources. Thanks for listening, and we'll be right back with guest host Dr. Lester Spence.